the Lord a praise. Give him the praise and give him the shout of victory. In Jesus' precious name. Welcome everyone to this second service on this day of praise. We had looked at the subject of obstacles or enemies of praise. And this is part two. Our objective today is to understand the diverse distractions or obstacles to a healthy praise worship life. What are the obstacles that a healthy praise worship can have? We read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 18, where he said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In every single thing give thanks." There were two things we saw by virtue of introduction. And the first is that the life of praise is the purpose of the child of God. The life of praise. We saw that in Isaiah 43 and in verse 21. And he said, "These people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." Adding to that is this service, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. He said, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." He called you out of darkness. He called you out of darkness. He called you out of darkness. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light to show forth his praises. So, where you do not live the life of praise, you are not fulfilling the purpose of your creation. The life of praise is the purpose of the child of God. Number two, we saw that both quality and durability of life are dependent on praise. The quality of life, the durability of life, both are dependent on praise. That is, your life will be more qualitative if you are more praiseful. You will have a more quality life. Your life can also be more durable. Psalm 150 and in verse 6, he said, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And Psalm 119, verse 175, 119, 175, he said, "Let my soul live and it shall praise thee. And let thy judgments help me. Let my soul live and it shall praise thee." So, you want to live well and you want to live long, make up your mind to be a praiser and a worshiper of God. Now, we began to look, and so we said, whatever attacks your praise attacks your life. And so to protect your life, you must protect your praise. That is very deep. Anything that is fighting your praising God is fighting your existence. So you must protect your praise to protect your life. Psalm 119 verse 175 again. "Let my soul live." If only you can allow me to live, I will praise you. Just allow me to live. You shall live. Somebody say aloud, amen. So what are those things we must watch out for that may hinder our praise? We looked at four of them in the first service. The heart of ingratitude. When you are not thankful, you cannot be praiseful. Number two is the spirit of pride. Arrogant people can't praise God. Pride is the enemy of praise. Number three is the spirit of discouragement and depression. When you feel depressed and discouraged and you allow that spirit to rest on you, it arrests your praise. Number four is the lack of goodness and kindness. When people are not good, when they are not kind, they don't give to others what belongs to them. And that extends to God. They don't give to God the praise that is due to him. We saw all of that in the first service. Number two, also in the first service. Now, we're going to number one or number five. For the first service, the first is the heart of forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5. The Bible said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy diseases? Who healeth all thy iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Forget not his benefits. One of the plagues we see in life is the plague of forgetfulness. I've been to people's bedside and literally prayed for them. I can remember plenty, but two in particular, brought literally out of the dead. The other one said he saw himself already on the way, in between death and life. Out. Today they behave as if we don't know each other. That is, you went to the hospital. One man said when he was a young medical doctor, someone was on the run because I think a law was catching up with something. And he gave him accommodation in the place they call 1004 Victoria Island. You remember that? What towers they call it? He just gave him accommodation. He stayed with him and his family. This man traveled, returned. Time to come, he became big in the country politically. This man said, good morning, sir. He said, yes. The one who gave him accommodation, he lived inside. He behaved like he has never met him. Oh, yes. This life is so terrible. Yes. One young man came. He said he was trying to do ministry somewhere, I think in Southern Africa, you remember? And he didn't succeed, came back to Nigeria. Long story made short, I invited him. He came to Abuja, stayed with us, gave him, rented, booked a hotel for him. He stayed there for, I don't know how long, weeks or so. Gave him books, prayed for him, did everything. We met in a meeting somewhere. I said, hello, how are you doing? He said, yes. So I called him. I said, come. You don't know me again, right? You don't know me again. You don't know me again, right? Do you remember? He has arrived. He traveled, went out of the country, went to America. This and that came back. You don't know me again. Me. Later on, he said, oh, he's so sorry. He apologized. Calm down. What shoulder is this? And people take this thing and take it to God. When they were suffering, they knew God. When they became more settled, who is God? A woman told me, please talk to my husband. He's not prayerful anymore. So I said to him, I said, you should uphold your prayer life. He said, oh yes, he was very prayerful when things were very hard. I said, that is an error. That is an error. Now that things are good, this is when to pray so that the devil does not return you to that level. That spell of forgetfulness. Forgetfulness, especially of what is good, is unrighteousness. Did you hear what I said? When good is done for you and you forgot it, it is unrighteousness. That's what the Bible said. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. It says God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. That is, if what you as a human being did for God, if God forgot it, it is unrighteousness on his part. That is God himself. That is, you did, you labored for the kingdom, you worked, you did this, you did that on his behalf, and the Almighty decided to forget it. For him, it is unrighteousness. If God is unrighteous to forget, how much, if he forgets, how much more man? Please ask God to remind you of things he has done that you are not remembering. How he delivered you from near crisis situations. How he delivered you from situations that would have wiped you out of life. Wiped you out of existence. Lord, please, if there are things you have done for me in time past and I am not remembering, remind me. Please don't forget, if you think more, you will thank more. Say that again. If you think more, to think more is to thank more. That was the heart of forgetfulness. The second one for this service is what I call the entitlement mentality. I am entitled. It is my right for this to happen and for that to happen. I am entitled. The entitlement mentality. 1 Chronicles 29, 13 to 14. David said, now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of you. I'm not entitled to them. You gave them to me. I don't own them. And of thine own have we given to you. For we are strangers before the sojourners. As were all our fathers, our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Acts chapter 16 verse 25. The Bible said, 17:25. Acts 17:25. Neither is worship with any man's hand as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Not because we were entitled to it. He gave them to us of our own volition. Do you understand? Let me tell you something. Do you understand why husband gives wife allowance for feeding and for housekeeping and she does not say thank you? Because she feels he is supposed to do it. I am entitled. Do you know why the man eats the food, licks his hand, it is sweet, and he does not say thank you? I am entitled. She is supposed to cook. But, woman, ask yourself, those women that are your age group, that don't have husband today, who is giving them allowance? That should make you to think and thank. Those women that cannot cook or who are not cooking, or those women who are telling their husband, go to the kitchen yourself, and the husband has not done anything. Husband, you realize that to have a submissive wife who will do your bidding without confrontation is a blessing. And you don't take that for granted. Am I communicating? Entitlement mentality. My father is supposed to pay me school, pay my school fees. Who said? Who said? There are children. In fact, my case was, I told you the story before. One day I went to my father with a big, long list of Gray's Anatomy, Cunningham's Manual of Anatomy, Harper's Biochemistry. I brought long list, dissecting sets, stethoscope, long list for medical school. When my father saw the list, he looked, he said, everybody in your class can buy this. When he saw the amount, he said, what of those in your class that don't have father? That woke me up. Those in your class who don't have father, who did they take this list to? Chai. And too bad for me. Somebody from my village in my own class, I know, doesn't have a father. He takes book from us to read. That was when I realized that nothing is a right. It's all a privilege. It woke me up. It woke me up. In fact, it woke me so up that I matured on time in a hurry. I began to do things for myself on time. Entitlement mentality. You should tell your father, thank you. My children have done some things for me, technical things that I couldn't do by myself. That day your musical things are scattered. This one is here, this one is here. I want to pull it all together. Let it be here. This and that, Spotify, this and that. I don't know how to do it. Long story made short, before you know it, everything was pulled together. I said thank you to them. And I thanked them in cash. Because if I was to get the services of a professional, I would pay for it. But this one is not a payment. It's an appreciation. Just to let you know, I'm not taking you for granted. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So once we drop that entitlement mentality, every free gift from a man, you will still thank God. Because if God does not touch the man cannot touch you. Every favor from a person, you will still thank God. Because if God does not move them, they can't be moved in your direction. Let's drop the entitlement mentality. If you are sitting close to your wife or anybody that is close to you that you value, tell them, I value you and I respect you. Tell them, I won't take you for granted. In fact, tell somebody by yourself, I can't take you for granted. Shout the loudest, say amen. When you go home, tell your wife, tell your husband, say, all the food I ate and I didn't thank you, I want to thank all the thank now. Hallelujah. And very, very soon, those of us who are not yet married, God will establish you. My wife traveled to see our children in school sometime back, and she came and I said, I want to really, really appreciate you for all these things you are doing, moving up and down, visiting, going, doing bank transfers and all of that for their schooling. I want to fully appreciate you. So she said, I said, thank you for taking care of my children. She said, no, it's our children. So I it's my duty to take care of them. So I said, okay, where is it written that the mother is the one that should be going to the school for visit and do the banking and all? Where is it written? Both of us should be doing it. But I have assignments so plenty, and you decided to carry that one. So I must appreciate you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Men. If children care were to be left for men, most children would have gone in youth age. If children care was to be left for men, he said they shout alone that they would have shouted down the children. It would be enough. If child care was to be left for man, said, you want to kill me? Sucking, sucking, sucking. Have you seen little children before? When their mother is passing, they will be, nah, that is bring my food. That is a whole human being is food walking. And I mean it because when the Shunammite's child, woman's child, had headache, my head, the man said, go and meet your mother. Is that language not familiar to? Go and meet your mother. When the boy died, if it was left for that man, the boy would have been buried. But the woman rode on donkey and went and met Elisha where he was. Compelled the man to come and raise the child back to life. For that man, it was a closed chapter. That is why, I don't know why I'm diverting to this issue right now. But don't take people for granted. Don't take your wife for granted. And don't take your husband for granted. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. That was the entitlement mentality. Number four is the spirit of hopelessness and despair. When people are hopeless, they are praiseless. When you don't perceive a future, when you cannot see tomorrow, you become praiseless. No need to thank God. In fact, that is where people commit suicide. Psalm 42 in verse 5. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Why are you cast down? Hope in God. Don't lose hope. Verse 11 of Psalm 43, verse 11. He said, why are you cast down again? It's repeated. 43:11. Why are thou cast down? Alright, 42:11. Why are thou cast down, O my soul? Why are thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance. I will praise him. Psalm 71, verse 14. 71:14. He said, but I will hope continually. I will hope continually. And I will yet praise thee more and more. I will hope. Where hope is lost, praise is lost. But the truth of the matter is, to him that is joined to the living, there is hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. For as long as you are connected to the living God, there is hope. Whatever makes you to still be alive makes your future to remain intact. The worst that the devil can do is to kill you. If he can't kill you, he can't touch that future. And the truth of the matter is, your praise can rearrange your circumstances. Paul and Silas in prison, they praised. And that praise rearranged their circumstances. That praise changed the situation. Finally, enemy of our praise is the lack of the giving attitude. The giving attitude. You know, there's something they say in Nigeria. Those who know, know. If you know, you know.
And truth is, if you don't know, you don't know. You know, in life there are people who are more generous than others. Is that true or false? More generous than others. And it goes into praise. You know, thanksgiving is a giving. Thanksgiving is a form of giving. The giving of thanks. Those who are stingy with giving will also be stingy with thanking. True. Just look around and see stingy people. They are stingy in everything. Those who are stingy can't give anything, including praise. They can't give anything. They can't give anything. They can't give anything. In fact, they can't give attention. Psalm 79 and in verse 13, the Bible said, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Psalm 35 and in verse 18, I will give you thanks, give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. You are going to trust God to make you a liberal soul. A liberal soul. Liberal. Liberal in giving. Liberal in thanksgiving. The counsel this morning is, do everything possible to avoid the forces that militate against your praise. Do everything possible to avoid those forces that militate against your praise. This morning, God will impart to somebody higher quality of life and durability of life. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, stand on your feet to the loudest shout of amen. We are going to be praising God shortly in a few minutes. But before then, you are going to lift up your voice. And so if we are to go through all the points from the beginning, we are dealing with the heart of ingratitude. We are dealing with the spirit of pride, the spirit of discouragement and depression, the lack of goodness and kindness, the heart of forgetfulness, the entitlement mentality, the spirit of hopelessness and despair, and the lack of a giving attitude. Lift up your voice, your hands, everyone. We'll pray briefly and then step in and say, Father,
Father,
I come before you today.
I come before you today.
So you line it all on the screen. Say, I come before you today.
I come before you today.
To reject the heart
of ingratitude.
To reject the spirit of pride. To reject the spirit of discouragement. And depression. To reject the heart that lacks goodness.
To reject.
The heart of forgetfulness.
To reject the entitlement mentality.
To reject the spirit of hopelessness and despair.
To reject
the lack of the giving attitude.
I come before you today.
Wear me the garment of praise.
So I can live
the life of quality and durability. In the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and speak to God right now. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit.
Yeah.
Jesus. One more time, lift up your hands and say, Father,
Father,
I receive the garment, of praise.
Explosive.
Garment
of praise.
I receive.
Now.
Open your mouth and pray. Precious name.
Amen.
It is done.
Amen.
There is something God is about to change in your life. There is a next level, a next phase for your life. The question I want to ask is, when that next phase happens, how will you celebrate God? Do it right now. For the next 7 minutes, celebrate God aggressively and brutally. How you will do it is a perfection praise. It's a restoration praise. It's a new beginning praise. Walk to somebody to tell them, I want to celebrate God and praise Him. Let's go.
Your love has taken over me. Father, I depend on you. I've got confidence in you. If you, O Lord, I will say, your love has
taken over me.
Everybody look and see what the Lord has done for me. Hallelujah, hold your breath. Hey! No, Mr. Adepolo, now God.
Restoration. I speak transformation. And I speak perfection. In the name of Jesus. Everywhere you are this morning, in need of surrender to Jesus, you've seen the explosivity of the praise and the presence of God. That's right. Don't sit down yet. I'll tell you when to sit. All right, lift up your two hands everywhere you are. One more time, receive what God has in store for you today. When I say the name of Jesus, you scream and receive. Place your hand on yourself. I ask that you receive right now everything that God has in store for you. Every deposit of heaven in your direction, I declare you release right now. In the name of Jesus! Precious name.
Amen.
Something happened even in the course of the praise. And if you still have a pending testimony, we can take it in 3 minutes. Right at the back there. But while we are doing this, everyone who is here today in need of surrender to Jesus, you want your sins forgiven? You want Jesus to be Lord over your life? Don't sit down yet. Pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.